In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, when you read the Gospel, or the Epistles, but especially the Gospel, context is very important. We should be students of the Scriptures, so when you read something, you should know what happened before and what happened afterwards. It should influence what you think about is being said, because often it has a great influence on it. And this is one of those times. Now, the story about the lunatic son ends with our Lord saying that the reason they couldn't cast out the demon from the son, that is, the apostles couldn't, was because of their unbelief, and that this kind only comes forth by prayer and fasting. And so, I've talked about that most of the time because that's very important. Pray and to fast. But some of you don't fast often. Some of you don't pray very much. So what else is there in this passage that can really help us? Remember, when you read things in the Scriptures, you have to be begging the Lord to touch you, begging the Lord to somehow speak to you, to comfort you or to rebuke you, to teach you about something you need to know. Somehow your soul must be touched when you read the Scriptures. We don't really care about what this word means or that word means. That's good to know, and it helps increase your knowledge of the Scriptures. But what really is important is, how does the soul grow and change when it reads the Scriptures? And what I'm struck by in reading this passage this time, of course I've read it several times before coming to church, and it's familiar to me because I've read it, I don't know, hundreds of times. And if you haven't read it hundreds of times, well, then today, start reading the Gospels regularly. But what strikes me today in this is that Jesus says to the man who said to him, I brought him, this boy, my son, to your apostles, to your disciples. He called him the disciples. And they couldn't cure him. They couldn't heal him. And Jesus says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Very simple statement. A very elusive one for us. And it made me start to think, why is it so hard to believe? Well, we believe in God, we believe in the Trinity, that Jesus Christ, the uncreated Son of God, became created in time as a man, so now he is God and man. We believe those things. But why doesn't this belief permeate all of our existence? Why doesn't it energize everything we do, everything we say, and most especially everything we feel? Why is this? The man must have believed something because he brought the boy first to the disciples believing that he would have a cure, and then to Jesus believing that he would have a cure. So he must have believed something. But he admitted himself when he said to the Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, that his belief was weak. So how does your belief become stronger? This is a great mystery. God helps with this. Now, of course, one of the answers that most of the time I have focused on is that with prayer and fasting, our belief becomes stronger. And that's absolutely true. But I want to speak maybe more philosophically and perhaps a little more incoherently. Because belief is something that God gifts us with when we struggle. We do a little bit, and God increases it. We're a lot like children. Of course, the children might know our secret now, but they'll probably forget. You know, when they do something, and when we quote-unquote help them with it, right? And we're really doing most of it, and they're so proud when they have finished something. That's the way it is with God and us. We're not any good at being righteous. We're not any good at being humble and kind. but God is. And so when we struggle to be humble, to be righteous, to be kind, God increases this. And in some marvelous way, we are increased. And we are closer to God, closer to full union with Him. It's something that cannot be understood. It cannot really be explained. And it certainly cannot be taught. God is the only teacher of belief in Him. So how do we gain belief? Well, this is the philosophical part. When I read the scriptures, I always see kind of pictures, maybe. Not really things that I think, but sort of this, an overall feeling. See that these kinds of feelings often in daily life, too. And it's kind of a blessing and a curse, to be honest with you. But what happened right before the man brought the boy to Jesus? Do you remember? The transfiguration occurred. As the man was asking the disciples that remained below to cure the son, his son, of this terrible evil demon that was trying to destroy the son, as that was happening, our Lord was manifesting that He is God to His three disciples on Mount Tabor. And a blessed, wonderful event was occurring. God was manifesting Himself and showing the future for us. So it was a happy, blessed event that all of the angels rejoiced in seeing. And yet, at the very same time that was happening, a man who was despondent because of the demon that was in his son trying to kill his son was begging for healing and getting none. So there was great blessedness and great sadness occurring at the same time. Now, the man wasn't on Mount Tabor. He didn't see God shining forth as that, as the other three disciples did. He was down on the ground begging for healing. I think there's a lesson in there. God is present in our lives. We might not feel Him. We might feel deep sadness or frustration or despondency or uselessness or whatever negative emotion, feeling you want to name. But God is present in our lives. It is the same God. He is the same God that showed Himself forth on Mount Tabor. He is the same God that had water come out of the rock. He is the same God that raised the dead. And yet we are floundering. God is present. So what does it take to believe? I think really to, with God helping, understand that He's present in everything we do, and we're never alone. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel alone. I never stop believing in God. But sometimes I feel tired. Just tired. Because there's a lot of times that I ask for healing and I don't see healing. Lots of times. And somehow God allows me to never doubt that He would heal, to never be angry about a lack of healing. Talking about in people that I know, in the, I don't know, several hundred people that seem to be in my orbit, my ministerial orbit, much more than just people that come to church on Sunday. But there's this feeling of tiredness. I think that's because my sins don't allow me to see the God who is transfigured, the God-man transfigured on the mountain. It's not something I can just do. It's not something I can say, okay, and now I know what the problem is. Okay, now I'm going to see God and everything's going to be fine, because that's not the way it works. But knowing that God is present in my life, knowing that God does heal, knowing that God does help everyone, that consoles me, even if sometimes I don't see help in a particular thing that I'm asking God to help with. This is where I said, I think I'm fulfilling my promise of being a little bit incoherent. But my heart is coherent on this subject. I just don't really know how to tell you. God is present. God will help us. So when you have deep-set problems in your life, don't ever stop yearning for and believing that God is present in your life. I know that there can be dark times. I've been through dark times. I think we've all been through dark times. But in the midst of those dark times, you have to believe that you're like that man who, when the Lord was showing himself to other people, was lamenting that his son was not healed. And yet, later on, his son was healed. What about the thief? There was just a recent stikeren in one of the church services. I don't remember which, but it doesn't matter because the imprint on my soul, that's indelible. What the stikeren was and exactly the wording, that's not so important. What service it was sometime in the last week, is not important. But the feeling that it gave to my soul and that still remains is very, very important. The thief had led a terrible life, the good thief, Dismas, a murderer, a thief. And on the cross, he was being punished for his crime. But in an instant, everything turned around. In an instant, he was in paradise. Because all he did was reach out to the Lord and say, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And there it was. He was saved. After what up to that point had been a useless life. But in one moment, things changed. That's wonderful. Let that feed your soul, those kinds of things in the scripture. We don't focus really on sadness when we're made glad. We don't focus on all the terrible things that we went through to get to the point of victory. We're happy that something has happened that is good. It's like the mother who goes through travail. She bears the child and she forgets about the pain that she just recently felt only moments ago. That's what it's like when God visits the soul. All the pain is over. It's forgotten. God can do that. He can do that for each one of us. You have to cultivate a belief in that. Now, I'm a somewhat practical guy, and so I try to tell you practical things to do that. That's why usually with this passage I really hit hard of fasting and prayer. And they're important. Coming to the services and the other things that I tell you. But I'm only marginally successful in convincing people to do those things. But as a pastor, the one thing I want to convince you to do is to feel God in your heart. And to love Him above everything else. And to be energized by that. Have it change your life. And that you would beg God to be present in your life. It can happen, whether you fast or not. I think it's a lot more likely if you fast. But it happened to the thief, and he certainly wasn't fasting. I don't recommend his lifestyle. But God can reach anyone, any one of us. Now, I've seen a problem. It happens in my life. It happens in a lot of your lives. That somehow we kind of think, well, that's for the other guy. The other guy is the guy who feels God's presence in his life. The other guy who has these things work out. I'm the guy who has this stuff happen. A lot of us think that way. But that isn't the way it should be. If you simply feel that God is present in your life, He will move in your life. and you will be happy. And the things that you desire deeply in your heart, they will come to fruition. Now, the things that you desire that are frivolous and foolish and sinful, God will not allow those things, and you'll feel pain when you don't get those things if you're attached to them. But then, when that's all burned away, it's only you and God and happiness. So, how do you believe? Just by begging God to be with you, and by moving as God tells you to move. When your heart tells you something, do it. If you don't do it very well, at least do it poorly. But don't not do it at all. That's how we start to believe. Not in facts, but where God is present in our life, and where he is as real to us as our own breathing. Because remember, God abides in us. May God help us to have this kind of belief. Amen.